sinners and cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young.
To all my listeners out there, this is Radio Zeke. It is 2 minutes and 50 seconds past the 11 o'clock hour here in Boston. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford, Tufts University, Freeform Radio. Today I've got in studio a friend of mine, a gentleman named Terry Klein, who's going to be playing some songs and talking about his new CD. Let's see here if we can even cue you up. Say something over there.
Great to be here, Zeke.
Thanks. Yeah, okay. All right, here we go. Okay, and we have about a little strum. All right, that's a little taste. Not yet. Okay, all you listeners out there, I just want to say hello to the people who I know are listening in and around the Boston, Medford, Cambridge, Somerville, Watertown area on 91.5, our terrestrial signal. We've got people in Chicago, I know. We've got people in Crozet, Virginia right now. I believe, people down in New York, people in California, people in Kiel, Germany, people in Amsterdam, maybe even somebody in Cape Town, South Africa, and in Taiwan. So all you folks out there, you know who you are, and people in Mamaroneck. I hope you're getting the signal. Okay, so we've got to do a couple things at the top of the hour, and one of them is to play... what is known as a PSA. So let's do this one.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Well, that was short and sweet. What do we have here? Okay, I'm going to cue up Terry in a minute. I'll start out by playing a song from somebody down Texas Way who will lead us towards the beautiful land of Austin and all the music that comes out of here. Here's something by Mr. Towns Van Zandt.
Said I miss you too. Don't know if I believed, but it felt like it was true. And then you kissed kissed me like you'd never done before. Yeah, parting such sweet sorrow. And you walked out my door. And I loved you in Montana and in San Diego, from Tacoma to Topeka, on up to Orono. And I loved you in your letters, and with the phone pressed to my ear, I loved you everywhere but here. Now and then you'd call me from a million miles away, say you wished we were together, and I thought my heart would break. But it never came to nothing, that busted love we shared. We'd have found a way to argue about the color of the air. So we wander through our separate lives. You know, love is a smoke made with the fumes of sighs. And in San Diego, from Tacoma to Topeka, on up to Orono. And I loved you in your letters, with the phone pressed to my ear. I loved you everywhere but here. Distance, but a tempest closer we got. And I loved you in Montana and in San Diego, from Tacoma to Topeka, on up to Orono. Well, I loved you in your letters, with the phone pressed to my ear. I love I love you every way but here.
That's not Towns Van Zandt. We're going to play that in a minute. That's Terry Klein off his new CD, which I'm holding in my hands, called Great Northern. Terry, where did you record that piece?
I recorded that at Jumping Dog Studio in Austin, Texas. It was produced by Walt Wilkins, and the engineer was a kind of a local folk hero named Ron Flint. And we had just a tremendous time doing it. Really one of the most joyous experiences of my entire life.
Yeah, this is a very well-produced CD here. It's called Great Northern. All right, you might as well do all the hype kind of stuff. Where's your website? Where can people get that? Where can people see you? You're up here for some shows, are you not?
Yes, that's right. I'm up here for some shows. I played on Monday night and last night, and then on Friday of this week, I'm playing at Three Squares in Needham. You can find out more about all that on my website. That's www.terrykleinmusic.com. And I'm also on Facebook. That's Terry Klein Music. And on Instagram, that's Klein Songs. The record will actually be released to the public on April 28th, but there is a pre-order that you can do at iTunes or Amazon if you you are so inclined.
Well, that's as I say, this is a, you know, this is not a DIY album. This is you got barcodes and you got nice graphics, and you're on your way here. Now, before we have you play something live in studio, I think the audience might be interested in knowing a little bit more about you. If people have seen you before you moved down to Austin, they might have seen you at the Lizard Lounge or maybe at Club Passim, places like that. I think you and I shared the stage at the Passim campfire last fall, and that was a real pleasure for me. But your story is a little bit interesting in that I believe you have transitioned from one career to another. And I know your next song is going to talk about that. So why don't you you mention where you came from, where you went, and how it all works out.
Sure. So I'm a full-time singer-songwriter now. For the last 15 years, I've been a practicing lawyer, a litigator here in Boston. And several years ago, just a few years ago, actually, I found songs, or songs started finding me, I think is probably the more appropriate way of saying it. And it just became something I had to do.
Right on.
And so I've transitioned out of the law practice, with the incredible support of my family and of my partners, and now I'm doing this full time.
So what you're saying is you quit a money job to be a starving songwriter. Now, there are those who might say this is insane.
Yes, it was. It is pretty crazy. It was, but we've talked about this, you and me, Zeke,
yeah,
about the fact that it doesn't feel like a tremendously brave thing to have done. It was more something, number one, that I had to do, and
right,
number two, that I had the support of loved ones in doing. It doesn't feel brave to me, though. I think probably to outside observers, it probably looks kind of a little bit nuts.
No, I know there are people out there who are listening and they're thinking, and you know, in Townes Van Zandt's words, you know, lives of lonely desperation. You know, people would like to be able to just jump off the cliff, and a lot of times they get paralyzed. They feel like, you know, Wile E. Coyote, and you know, here's the cliff, and here I am up in the air, and there's the bottom of the cliff way, way down there. But you've done it, and we are eagerly awaiting the first rushes off your review cycle here. I think this might be your first radio performance for this, in support of this album. Is that right?
It's my second, actually.
Oh, really?
I went on WEMF on Monday.
I know those guys.
With Dave,
sure,
Crespo.
Yeah, I know Dave. Yeah,
and we had a very good time.
Yeah, Dave's a good guy. He's that's wonderful. Okay, so what are you going to play now?
I'm going to play Watchmen, which is a song that I wrote as I was making the move to stop practicing law and start writing songs. And it was, you know, this is a song about not feeling in control of your destiny, and then kind of taking the reins and deciding to move on. So this is Watchmen,
right,
and
here we go.
It's the first song on the record. I stand on a battered limestone wall, trying to keep a grip on my nerves. I've been up here long as I can recall, forsaken by the masters I still serve. On my best days I remain unsure that I can be your watchman anymore. This cold wind is too bitter for me. Cuts through my coat and straight into my bones. I stare out at the wild and angry sea and shift my weight atop these ancient stones. I'm weary of this unforgiving shore.
and I can't be your watchman anymore. Won't keep these torch fires burning and try to stay awake, but this outpost ain't my prison, and to die here ain't my fate. It was a just and worthy cause, but I have to say that I have had my fill. So I'm handing off these burdens I have borne, and I won't be your watchman. No, I won't be your watchman. No, I won't be your watchman anymore.
Sweet sounds and fancy flat picking of Terry Klein, my guest in studio, talking about his new CD, which is called Great Northern. Is this a self-released? Are you on your own label here?
That is correct. It is a self-released. It is kind of DIY.
Yeah.
There's this massive industrial complex that, with the collapse of the recording industry, that is built up that helps make it not look DIY.
It looks very nice, and it sounds real nice. I mean, the production is right there, and the songs are right there, too. So there you are. Now, to be honest, I have to report that we did spend some time down in Austin last fall. I was down there playing, and you and I played at Cheatham Street Warehouse, and you were just kind of cutting your teeth in the scene down there. When you decided to make the move, was there any question in your mind that it was going to be Austin or someplace else?
Well, when we were deciding to move, we were thinking about Nashville, and we were thinking about Austin too.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of clinched it for us was just the fact that we love Austin so much. And it is
a pretty nice town.
It's a wonderful town. And from a musical perspective, what I dig about it is that it's just this incredible melting pot of country and folk and blues and Mexican folk music and conjunto and all that kind of stuff. And you just put all that together and you get a sound.
There's great punk down there, too. There's a band called The Giant Dog that I play sometimes. Those guys are insane.
Yes.
Yeah. No, there's Austin, put it this way. If you like to, you know, go into a bar and perhaps, you know, enjoy what they may be serving and listen to music, you're not going to run out of things to do in Austin.
No, on any given night, you're going to have a bunch of options. And part of the, you have to be strategic about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Spread it around.
Yeah, you were talking about the Cactus Cafe, is that right?
Yes, and the Cactus is just kind of this, it's almost kind of Austin's equivalent to the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville.
Right.
It's just a great songwriting stage. Guy Clark, Townes Van Zandt have played there, and they just recently started up an open mic on Monday nights after a bunch of years of it not being there.
All of you aspiring, and that, by that I mean me, but anybody who's listening, this is your heads up. Monday nights, Cactus Cafe. That's actually part of the University of Texas. It's on the campus, is it not?
Yes, it's right on the UT campus. It's run by somebody named Casey Crowley, who when I got to Austin took really good care of me and started booking me in places, and so I'm just incredibly grateful to her.
Where else have you been playing down there?
So I've been playing at a place called New World Deli,
mm-hmm.
which is in Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a wonderful.
Is that south of the river?
That's north of the river. It's a really nice venue. I'm going to be playing there, I think, on June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I during South By, I played out in Bastrop, which is east of, mm-hmm. of Austin, and at Threadgill's also. Threadgill's.
Yeah,
South.
Yeah. These are places that you hear about if you follow Texas artists or have any interest in outlaw country, or these are all places that are pretty well known. Have you had a chance to play over places like Green Hall yet, or?
Not yet. That's definitely an aspiration of mine.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful venue. You know, the whole dance hall thing in Texas is something you really kind of need to experience.
Yeah, we're going to play a Hayes Carl song in a little while to sort of talk about the differences between the Texas music scene and every place else, because it's a different world down there. My guest, it's 21 minutes past 11 o'clock here in Boston, is Terry Klein, formerly of this city, Boston, now making his home down in Austin, Texas, where he is pursuing, and it looks to me to be pretty successfully pursuing, a career as a singer-songwriter. Terry, I'm going to pop up a song here by somebody who has played at the Cactus Cafe.
When the bandits have stolen jewelry and gone, and your crippled young gypsy, he's grown tall and strong, and your dead misconceptions have proven wrong. Well then, princess, where you're planning to turn to when your magazine memory has spun you around, and you realize your lovers were just painted clowns, and outside your window you start hearing sounds where they're building a cross for to burn you. When all your bright scarlet turns slowly to blue, will you stop and decide that it's over? When your teardrops go sour and no longer fall to splash across the virgin that lives down your hall and spends all her nights with an ear to your wall, well then what will you have you can offer when the fire dancers finish and leave you alone with nothing but embers and sacks full of stone that hang round your neck, slicing through to the bone? Will there still be a place for your laughter when all your bright scarlet turns slow? Stop and decide that it's over. As your shattered illusions come a tumbling home, and all of the butchers you nourished have grown, and they're suddenly able, and they run like slaves that are set free. When your questions are answered and your pleading is done, and your mind starts a-screaming that you ain't the one that once dwelt within you, will you turn, will you run? The princess, will you come home and get me? When all your bright scarlet turns slowly to blue, will you stop and decide that it's over? stop and decide that it's over.
Abby Towns Van Zandt, of course. Now, that was a very early release. Not super early, but it was on his first record, which is called For the Sake of the Song. That song's Sad Cinderella. And Towns and many other people who are Towns fans think, boy, what did they put all that garbage in there behind him? Because he didn't need any of that. And that was the story of his recording life for quite a while. He's... Now, when you mixed your stuff, you did not put in a lot of strings and horns.
That's correct.
Well, why not? You know, I mean, what's wrong with you?
Well, when Walt Wilkins and I were talking about putting the record together, our vision, and I think we achieved it, was to make the songs front and center, and to have as little as we possibly could distract from the songs and the stories in the songs, and you know, any instrumentation we added, we wanted to enhance the songs, and I think we really did that. There are a lot of layers on this record, and we spent a bunch of time mixing it.
Yeah,
but I think we really did succeed in keeping those songs front and center.
Well, you've got, there's 8 songs on this. How long were you actually in the studio, and how many times did you have to go back and track it?
We recorded it over the course, recorded and mixed it over the course of about 5 weeks, but not a solid 5 weeks. We did a couple of days of tracking of bass and drums and keys. The bass player is a brilliant guy named Bill Small. The drummer is John Chipman, who is amazing, and the keys is Bart DeWin. He's from the Netherlands, and he's incredible. And then we did some overdub days, and then we started adding in things like steel and fiddle, and harmonies, and there's electric guitar in one song on the record, which is ridiculous, because when I was a kid, I was an electric guitar player, a heavy metal guitar player.
And really?
So you would think that I would have added a bunch of layers of...
Okay, let's talk about your favorite heavy metal. Just pick the first name that comes to mind in terms of metal for you.
Well, for me, I mean, the song that really got me into heavy metal was, I think, Battery by Metallica.
Yeah, baby. I know there's somebody out there listening who's saying, those guys suck. I'm a Sabbath girl, I think was what she tweeted. But, you know, yeah, I don't know really too many people who have not... drawn serious inspiration from, like, you know, all the way down metal. You know, it's because sometimes you just need to do that, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you're playing out, though, you're not playing with a full band. So in support of this, are you playing pretty much stripped down solo acoustic?
What, pretty much. This Friday at Three Squares in Needham, I am going to be playing with a band, so that'll be fun. And the CD release on May 2nd in Austin at 1-to-1 Bar is going to be full band, with mostly the players on the record, a different drummer, a guy named Brandon Lane, and then we'll see. I love playing with people. I've grown to really enjoy that. So I think that'll probably start to happen a bit more.
So you need in order to do that, you need to have people who are either session people, because they're going to be dead reliable, or you're going to need to be the harsh taskmaster and make sure that they show up, because often, and speaking as a bass player in a band that I doesn't have my name at the top of the list there, I'm just supporting. I'm pretty reliable as a bass player, but I know that bass players in particular, and drummers, you know, like they're going to be there, but like maybe they don't actually show up sometimes. So that means that you need to be a bit of a martinet when you're running your band. I'm going to play something here, one of your suggestions. It's going to be a little bit more stripped down than that Town song. This is a great Hank Williams cut. It's supposed to be. Here we go.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I've never
never seen a night so long. When time goes crawling by, the moon just went behind the clouds to hide its face and cry.
Great Hank Williams, of course, with a 1949 track, So Lonesome I Could Cry. Now, Terry, you're going to play another one of your compositions. I've got Terry Klein in studio with me. You're listening to Radio Zeke on WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford, Tufts University Freeform Radio. My guest, as I say, is Terry Klein, who's formerly of Boston, now based in Austin, Texas. He's got a show this Friday. Is that right?
That's right.
And you are playing at Three Squares, which is, I formerly know it as the IHOP, because they do have really good pancakes in that place. But since they're not paying, and we're not a commercial radio station, we won't say things like that. But if you're looking for a pancake, you could do worse than go in there and listen to Terry play some songs. And you're going to play one now. I know the backstory, but it's called Better Luck Next Time. Why don't you tell me about that?
So this song, there are a ton of stories associated with this song, but the crux of it is, so my wife and I have been together for 22 years, married for it'll be 16 years this June, when we were starting to think about having kids, we didn't have a tremendously easy time of it. This song stems from a day when we had a particularly bad day in a doctor's office, and we came home, and I remember walking in the house. It was a July day here in Boston, and I just remember being in our house. We lived in Dorchester at the time, on a second and third story, and it was just a beautiful July day, you know, not too hot. You could hear the birds chirping, and I just remember, you know, we both had just this incredible ache in us. And I remember actually a year to the day after that, when Lindsay, my wife, was pregnant with our daughter Zoe, who's 12 now and who's gorgeous and beautiful and wonderful and smart and a total miracle. I just remember us thinking back on that day in 2004 to the day in 2003, a year before, and just shaking our heads. at just kind of how we'd navigated this together. And so this song is called Better Luck Next Time. It's about really the power of love. I wrote it at Kevin Welsh's house in Wimberley, Texas, and never played it for anybody. And then the first group of people I played it for was at a Mary Gaucher songwriting workshop in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary basically said to me, sorry, you've got to go out and start playing this song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
And so I did, and the first place I played it at was Club Passine.
Go ahead.
I put the books in a box just as quick as I can, and I hope she doesn't see it. No. She's downstairs in the kitchen with a half drunk can of beer. Birds keep singing and the grass still grows. Better luck next time. Next time, the box goes in the closet where she never looks, and I wonder what the hell we'll do next. I sit down at the table and I try to take her hand. She says I don't want to be touched just yet. Next time, better luck. Next time, I say, tell me what you wanna do. I'll do anything at all. And she says, honey, just get me out of here. So we jump into the car and we drive through the night in a useless attempt to outrun our tears. Better luck next time. Next time, well, now I'm lying on a bed in a broken down motel, and silently I begin to cry. She sits down next to me and puts her hand on my arm. She says, we'll have better luck next time. Better luck next time. Better luck next time.
Go. That's Terry Klein live in studio with me playing his song Better Luck Next Time. I'm just wondering, has your daughter heard that song?
Yes, she has.
What does she think?
She's
about
heard
it
a lot of times.
Yeah. It's the one that didn't happen.
It right.
Could have been her sibling.
Right. It's interesting. We haven't actually talked about the content of that song or of many of the songs actually that I've written with our two girls, Zoe, who's 12, and Beatrice, who's 8. And so it's an interesting point. But you know, I think we did have better luck next time because Zoe really, you know, you have kids, you know how it is.
Yeah, I do. It's interesting, you know, because things change completely. Not to say that it's the only thing that's worth doing. But I'm one of these people that thinks that is something that's worth doing. Everything else is confection, but kids kind of put a bracket around your previous confectionery life, no matter how serious you may take yourself. When you have the helpless infant that's going to have to be fed, that pretty much, well, you've been there.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that's it right there. And then, you know, when they get a little bit older and they look back at you and then tell you to get lost, Dad, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And you realize after a very short period of time that they're right and you're wrong. But you still try and, you know, point them in the right direction. That's about all you can do. You know, it's their problem now, you know. So you're not quite at that level, but soon they'll be off in college, and then it's going to be their problem. Looks easy, you try it.
Right. My parenting strategy has been not to screw up. I just don't want to screw them up. They're these wonderful little beings, and I just do not want to screw them up.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that's the best possible way to go about it. You know, you like I say, wind them up, and you know, and don't, like, don't screw up. That's exactly right. My guest here is Terry Klein, a friend of mine, formerly of Boston, now formerly a lawyer, but now a full-time singer-songwriter based in Austin, Texas. He's up here supporting his about-to-be-released CD called Great Northern. You cite a few people. I'm going to play Mary Goat the Eight song in a minute. But you touch on matters filial here. Your daughter, and I did not know this about you, and I was a little bit hesitant sending the email out because I figured, well, you know, you can stand on your own. But actually, it is interesting that your background, your family background, has positioned you to be exposed early and often to some of the well-known names in the Americana pantheon. I think, you know, Woody Guthrie would spring to mind. Why don't you talk about that for a minute, and your dad and all that?
Sure. My dad is Joe Klein, who most people know now as a political columnist. He's written for Time and Newsweek and The New Yorker.
He wrote Primary Colors.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
His first book, though, was a book about Woody Guthrie, called Woody Guthrie: A Life. And it's one of my... I think it's probably my favorite book by him, and it has been, and it was even before I became a songwriter. It's just a wonderful kind of literary biography of Woody Guthrie, and I remember him writing it. I remember just, you know, he wrote that on a typewriter,
right.
You know, in the late 70s, early 80s. And so, you know, when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, I was exposed a lot to people like Arlo Guthrie. And to Pete Seeger. I remember, I think, sitting on the stage at a Pete Seeger concert at a venue in New York, which used to happen at folk concerts.
Right.
And so I remember that. You know, that to me, that book, had a pretty big impression on me, especially once I started writing, because, you know, Woody was so incredibly prolific.
Thousands and thousands of songs, many of which he would only play once, and then, you know, wouldn't play them again.
Right, and so that, you know, he was struck by a muse, and I think part of it was his disease.
Yeah,
but you know, he was so prolific. But even with him, you know, it's still, the ratio is still, you write 10 good songs, or 10 songs and you get one good one.
Right, right.
And so...
Was your dad always a Woody fan? A folk music fan? Or was it a paying job that he just dove into and, you know, there you are in the rabbit hole and, wow, look at all this stuff?
You know, my dad grew up, he was a drummer, and a very good drummer.
Really?
Before he gave that up and he went to Penn and...
Yeah.
And then went into journalism. He was a big rock guy. You know, he loved the Beatles. He loved the Stones. You know, he liked soul music. He loved reggae.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what spoke to him about Woody's story was the social context in which it occurred.
Right.
And the essential sort of tragedy of his life, you know, how he was so prolific and then was just utterly debilitated by Hutchinson's.
Right.
And so there was a compelling narrative to it.
Right.
That lent itself to the kind of book that he wanted to write.
We were talking yesterday. Terry Klein, my guest, and I had a cup of coffee yesterday, and we were talking about the illusion of kumbaya in the folk world. Everybody is supposed to get together and be happy, and you know, like sing songs and hold hands, and that does happen from time to time. But on the other hand, there's a little bit of competition in the blood that goes even through the most squishy lefty kind of folk singer. And I think you mentioned that Pete Seeger was not all that thrilled with that book. Is that right?
That's my recollection, and I remember my dad kind of tearing his hair out over that because you know he is at his heart a sensitive artist, just yeah. like me and yeah. just like you, and yeah. you're constantly worried about what somebody's going to think.
Right. But you know, Pete was upset with the book because it wasn't about him.
I think that's an arguable contention.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it could also be, you know, about the way that perhaps my dad depicted some left-wing politics and you know, and affinity for Stalin and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But there's an argument that's more narcissistic.
Well, if your dad is out there listening, hello, he might be. He's down, where is he, in New York someplace?
He's in New Rochelle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hello there. I'm going to play a song here by Mary Gautier, and then maybe you'll pick up something and play another one for us. This is I Drink by Mary Gautier.
Get home at 5:30, picks his drink, sit down in his chair, pick a fight with mama, complain about us kids getting in his hair. At night he'd sit alone and smoke. I'd see his frown behind his lighter's flame. Now that same frown's in my mirror. I got my daddy's blood inside my veins. Fish swim, birds fly, daddy's yell. TV dinner, 6 minutes on defrost, 3 on high. Beer to wash her down with, then another, a little whiskey on the side. It's not so bad alone here, it don't bother me that every night the same. I don't need another lover hanging around trying to make me change. Fish swim, birds fly, lovers leave by. Sit and think. I
Mary Gauthier doing her song "I Drink." You know her, do you not?
I do. She's a friend, and she's been an incredible supporter of me as I've been trying to sort of navigate my through the thicket of becoming a songwriter. That song, I just have to say, I have to editorialize about that. It's brilliant. What's incredible about it is that it completely follows Nashville's rules.
All right.
In the sense that it goes verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
A real short bridge, too.
Yeah.
It's like a two-chord bridge, but that's all you need.
And so from a craft perspective, it just completely adheres to Nashville's rules. But there is still room for incredible, meaningful, personal expression.
You know, people knock Nashville, but then you get somebody like Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit with their record, The Nashville Sound, which is just out now. That's a killer record,
yep.
Boys, you know. And there's nothing wrong with the formula, because the formula is rules that you innovate with. I mean, blues is a formula, right?
Right. Well, it's what they say down there is it's tools, not rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mary, Lori McKenna,
A local gal,
you know, who they both do absolutely amazing,
right,
wonderfully expressive work, and they, you know, will often, not always, especially with their own music, will follow Nashville's rules, and so that's just a great song, and Mary has been so good to me. We're playing a show together in Austin on May 18th. It's a Catfish concert put on by Jenny Finley.
Right on.
Who's Kent Finley's daughter.
Cheatham Street,
yes.
Warehouse, right.
And so I can't wait for that. I can't believe it's happening.
Yeah, but that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, that should be a pretty crowded house, I would imagine. The world is very fortunate indeed to see you guys together on stage. All right, this has been a wonderful hour. It's kind of wrapping up towards the top of it. My guest has been Terry Klein, who is a singer-songwriter presently based in Austin, somebody who I have known up here in Boston, but he has given up his career of lawyering, as is documented in his song Watchmen, which was played a little bit ago live in this very studio, to pursue his muse, or rather, I might be more accurate to say, to being pursued and beaten about the ears by your muse. You know, sometimes when you get the bug, it's not going to let you go, you know, and you just might as well go with it. And you're in a position to have taken the bull by the horns, and you're running with it. You've got a song here, one last live song that you want to play. What is that?
This song is called "Dull Women Keep Immaculate Homes."
Oh.
And if you talk about kind of the competitive nature of the folk universe, I this was based on a song prompt that I got at the Southwest Regional Folk Alliance Conference, which is, you know, all these folk alliance conferences are where folk musicians from around the world get together and play basically, right, in an effort to get gigs.
Right.
It's
not that easy to do.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
No. And so this, I, when you walk up, they give you a prompt, and my prompt I pull out of the a bucket was,
yeah,
"Dull Women Keep Immaculate Homes," and then you have to write it over the course of 72 hours and then play it for a room full of people,
right?
If you want, if you can, I should,
right,
say. And so I pulled it out, and initially I was just kind of thinking, they're hazing me. This,
right,
is ridiculous. But then I sat down next to the pool at the Holiday Inn in central Austin and just banged this thing out over the course of probably about an hour or 90 minutes, and there haven't been many changes to it. And you know, Zeke, that that's rare.
Yeah.
Usually you just revise the living heck out of a song, and you sit with it, and you agonize over it. This is not a song. This is a song, and some of them do come fully formed.
Yeah, you wake up, and there they are, and you,
yeah,
just write them down.
Exactly.
Harlan Howard.
Exactly.
You know, Harlan Howard, the great songwriter and country singer, who's famous for saying, "What's a country song? Three chords and the truth." That's him on his gravestone. It says, "I just held the pen."
Right.
All right. Okay, so you're going to play something where you kind of just, well, you didn't just hold the pen on this one. "Dull Women Keep Immaculate Homes," Terry Klein.
Grandma June and Grandpa Joe lived up in Dutchess County. They had a tiny house on a big old piece of land. And that house was filled with books and sculptures and papers and paintings that take an MFA to understand. Well, sometimes Grandpa Joe, he'd almost lose his temper. He'd say, June, this house is looking like a war zone. She'd put her hands on her hips, tilt her head to the left and say, dull women keep immaculate homes. Well, Grandpa Joe passed, and oh, how she missed him. That tiny house became a shrine to their love. Then she started adopting dogs and cats and hamsters. They kept her company along with the good Lord up above. But Daddy didn't like it, not for one single second. He said, Mama, what on earth is going on? She put her hands on her hips, tilted her head to the left and said, dull women keep immaculate homes. And she said, oh, I've been so blessed. Yeah, there's joy in this life and you can find it if you're willing to make a mess. We lost Grandma June. A year ago, November, I hadn't cried like that since I was just a kid. We all met up at Uncle Milton's and drank and sang together, told off-color jokes like Grandma June would have did. And then we buried her in the cemetery, right next to her beloved, and Daddy wouldn't say just what he put on her gravestone. Well, I read that epitaph, and there etched in granite, dull women keep immaculate homes. Dull women keep immaculate homes.
That's terrific. That's great. My guest has been Terry Cline.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. You've got a show coming up Friday at Three Squares out on Highland Ave in Needham. If you happen to, what time is that show?
I think it starts at 8:00.
Good. Come on out. My name is Zeke Duckworthy. You've been listening to Radio Zeke. I will leave you with one song here, not by Terry Cline, who I strongly recommend you guys follow, and I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot more of, my Austin-based singer-songwriter friend. I'm going to leave you with a song by another friend of mine who's got a show on Thursday, Allison Callery, who I have talked about in the past. And let's see if we can punch this one up. This is a song off of her folk Simple Folk Radio Sessions. You haven't heard her. She's a real fine singer-songwriter, great guitar player, too. Here we go.
This is Allison Callery for Simple Folk Radio. Place for me.